Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to High Point Church Thursday Morning Healing School. We are so glad that you are joining with us this morning. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to minister and to be ministered to. So, Holy Spirit, we look to you to do that ministering today. I open my heart to hear your voice and the voice of another I won't even acknowledge. And I thank you, Lord, that as we come today, all of us, me here and those at home, just lay aside, put aside those things that have bound us up. Put aside the thoughts that maybe have come to us about things regarding healing, but about also just being by ourselves, that we can just set those aside and we open our hearts to you and ask you in faith, knowing that you're going to do it, Holy Spirit, to teach us. And we declare we will never be the same again in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed and says, amen. We've been talking for four or five sessions now about covenant confidence, and we're going to continue that this morning. What we're actually going to be talking about is covenant faithful. But last week, we looked at one that really ministered to me a lot, and it was covenant compassion. You know, as we talk about covenant, we're talking about blood covenant, the way that God has chosen to communicate to us. And not only is He just communicating, He is binding Himself and all of heaven to you and I through the blood covenant that we have been brought into, the covenant between He and Jesus. We've also talked a lot about an old Hebrew word that's used, hesed, or hesed, spelled C-H-E-S-E-D if you put it in English terms, and the multifacetedness of that word. It means covenant love. It's translated mercy the most, loving kindness next. It's translated goodness. And we just saw that there's just not an English word that encompasses everything that means. And yet we see that's such a key part. And you're going to see that some more today. So as we start today, I want to go back to the basics that we went through last week and just mention. We looked at 1 John 4:8 that says God is love. He doesn't have love. That's who He is. And that is the basis of every good thing that flows from Him. Giving and giving and giving. Not because He has to, but because that's His nature. We also looked last week in Exodus 34, where Moses had asked the Lord to see His glory. And we saw how the Lord described Himself. And He used those same words that we've just been talking about. Merciful, loving kindness, gracious, compassion, which is what we looked at last week. And so we begin to see how all these things fit together. And that's the love that God has for you and I. Now, why is this important to us? It's important because everybody will say, I know God can. But as we looked at the leper last week, will He do it for you and me? Do you see yourself as worthy? And I said worthy, not because you've made yourself worthy, because Jesus made you worthy. Do you see yourself as being worthy to receive all He wants to do for you? We looked at His compassion in action last week. We started with the account of the so-called prodigal son. And what did we see in that? That the Father, who represents our Father, looking for us, was looking out every day. And why was He looking out every day? Well, we get a clue, because what moved Him as soon as He saw His son? The compassion did. And that's what I want to tell you and reiterate today, is that as we walk more and more in this compassion that the Lord has placed inside us, then the Lord is going to point people out for you to see. People who need ministering to. And you're going to see opportunities come to you that you haven't anticipated. And then you're going to walk, and all of a sudden you're going to see somebody, and the same compassion that the Father showed His son, gave him his best robe, hugged him, loved on him, even though he smelled like the pigs. You're going to have that same drawing to those people so that you can minister to them. We also looked at the account of the leper last week, who came to Jesus and said, I know you can, I'm just not sure you will. And we talked about how we today are really a lot like that. The scripture in Ephesians 1:19, where it talks about His surpassing greatness of His power. we look at that scripture and we say, yes, that power. But it's the next four words after that phrase that really I think are the most important to us. That power which is toward us. Amplified says it's in us and for us. And so that's what's important, that we see that compassion, that love, that power that flows because of that compassion as wanting Him wanting to bring that to you and I individually so that we can walk in the fullness of what He did. Now, we've been talking also about asking for mercy, and we saw with the two blind men who cried out for mercy to Jesus, and then they followed Him in the house. But what did that mercy, crying out for mercy do? It got His attention. But then it says, and moved with compassion. That's what brings, I believe, the power on the scene, is when we bring the very love of God, the essence, the chesed of God, and let it flow in us, then we will not only be ministered to, but we're going to become more effective ministers. So today, as we begin, I want to begin to talk about faithfulness. Now, even last week, we talked about one verse that referred to Jesus as our merciful and faithful high priest. And that's what we're going to focus on today. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures because the word tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing the anointed word. Well, I'm convinced that the Lord has given me this today to encourage each of us on His faithfulness towards you and I, so that when these times come in, we just go right back to that love, that faithfulness that's there based on His covenant, and we encourage ourselves. I want you to look with me in the book of Isaiah at the 49th chapter, and we're going to look at one verse, verse 8. I saw this verse last week when the Lord had told me that I was to do faithfulness, and I began studying this last Thursday afternoon, actually a week ago. And this verse just came up. It says, "Thus says the Lord." Now, this whole chapter is about Messiah, so we know it's talking about Jesus. And it says, "Thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I have answered you." And notice the "you" is capitalized. "And in the day of salvation I have helped you." And this next phrase is the one that just really leapt out at me. "And I will give you and give you for a covenant of the people." And it goes on and says, "to restore the land and to make them inherit the desolate heritage." Now, if you'll back up to that first part of it, I want you to look at this phrase. The Lord is telling us that He's giving to us Jesus as the covenant. I just begin to shout because what I saw is when I look at Jesus, I'm looking at my covenant. When I look at the covenant, I'm looking at Jesus. You can't separate those. Let me enforce that with what the complete Jewish Bible says for that phrase. And we don't have this to show you, so listen carefully as I read just this phrase to you about Him being given as the covenant. The Father says in this translation, "I have appointed you to be the covenant for a people." I have appointed. That was His assignment. He came to earth bringing that covenant to earth, ratifying it in His own blood after He fulfilled the old covenant. That's our Jesus. And so we cannot separate Him from the covenant. And I think that's a key point because we're not just talking about covenant separate of Jesus. All these things fold together. The gospel is really so simple, and it's all about Jesus. Now let's go and look at 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 through 13. As we begin to talk about faithful and faithfulness. And we're going to be reading again today out of the New American Standard. And it starts off and it says, "It is a trustworthy statement." Now let me just stop and say, trustworthy there is a really key term, because you're going to see that the word trust and faithful go hand in hand. Not synonymous exactly, but they are strongly related. "So it is a trustworthy statement that if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. But if we deny Him, then He will deny us." Now, don't get worked up about that verse. Who else denied the Lord? Peter did, but the Lord didn't deny Peter. He's talking about here really just making everything that the Holy Spirit has done in us null and void. It's more, disowning what we have with Him, giving it up totally. And then verse 13 is the key verse. If we are faithless, if we don't do everything perfect, then we don't have to worry about it. Why? Look what it says. He remains faithful. And that's the most important thing, that Jesus is faithful to Himself, we're going to see, and to you and I. And then it says, for He cannot deny Himself. Now again, that word deny means to literally change who He is and to give up what He has. He's not going to do that, because what have we seen before? All these descriptors of Hesed really disclose His nature, which is the Father's nature, which is why Jesus said to the disciples, if you've seen Me and what I do, you've seen the very nature of God. So Jesus is given as our covenant. He's not going to disown us. He's going to remain absolutely faithful to Himself and to everything that the covenant describes that we have in Him. So we have a Redeemer who is and who always will be faithful to our new covenant, because He is that covenant. Now today, what I really want to do is just go through a number of scriptures. And as I said earlier, the Word says when we hear the Word, then our faith will grow. Expect your faith to grow with regard to faithfulness. Expect it to increase. And we're going to look at these scriptures, and we're going to go over them fairly quickly. Some of them we'll talk about in a little more detail. But I just want you to see the wide view of being faithful, not just this narrow view we sometimes get as we study something, but just the broadness of it. And see Jesus as being what I'm going to call a sustaining force for us. His faithfulness sustaining us as trials and tests come against us. Now before I do this, I want to tell you something that happened, and it encouraged me in several different ways. I mentioned to you that the Lord had asked me, or instructed me, I would rather say, to teach on faithfulness last week. So this weekend, I get a note from someone, and I'm not going to tell you who because it doesn't matter, who was going through some physical things, and it were some physical things that were obvious to that person. They couldn't help but see what was going on. And they sent this note describing what they were experiencing, expressing confidence that the Lord would be faithful to them, and then asking for agreement in prayer, which I love to do. But before I prayed for that individual, I called him and said, what are you believing? Which verse are you standing on? And again, the verse that comes from that person is, the Lord is faithful. I can't tell you how that encouraged me. But now let me tell you the really exciting part. 2 days later, I get a note from that same person saying, it's all gone. Everything is back. Hallelujah. And how did they appropriate their faith? Based on His faithfulness. So today, as you listen to this, if there are things that have seemed just to hang on to you and you've not been able to shake them loose, then let's use this study of faithfulness to allow you to reach out and grasp and take that mercy that we find at the throne, that grace to help in this time of need. I believe that's what you're going to see today. So let's go now to Genesis, the 32nd chapter, and we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. When I study a word, I like to go to some of the first times it's used, because I think we get a good picture of the intent of it. And this is a verse about Jacob. He's just coming back when the Lord's told him to return back to his homeland. And remember now, he's operating under a covenant that was given to Abraham, his grandfather. And the Lord told Isaac, and the Lord's told him, I'm going to establish or make or cause to come to fruition this same covenant for you. And look at what he says to the Lord. Now you've got to also remember, this is old covenant, and they have not all been made righteous. In other words, they've not all been justified. There's been no price paid at this point. And so they don't see themselves as worthy, whereas we do today, not because of us, but because of what Jesus. So Jacob says, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who told me, return to your country and to your relatives and I will prosper you. He's recounting back what the Lord told him, which again is covenant. And then verse 10, he says, I'm worthy of all the loving kindness, that's the word, hesed, and all of the faithfulness which you have shown to your servant. For with my staff only I cross this Jordan. So what he's saying is, when I went across this Jordan the first time, the only thing I had was this staff. And now, look how I'm coming back, Lord. And why is he coming back this way? Because of the Lord's hesed and because of the Lord's faithfulness to him. And now I have become two companies, two large groups of people, two large groups of animals, two large groups of things that he's bringing back where the Lord has prospered him. Now, as we read this, I just want to reiterate to you that healing is part of the blessing which is ours. And we even saw it appropriated through Abraham as he prayed for someone. So it goes all the way back. This is the Lord's desire. We've been made worthy. In fact, Deuteronomy 28:10, let me just read it to you. We're not going to put it on the screen. This is how you ought to view the hesed and the faithfulness working on your behalf, so that all the peoples of the earth, and this is again, verse 10 of Deuteronomy 28, all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. And it goes on to say, and they shall be afraid of you. They shall hold you in awe, in that awesome fear. Why? Because they can see the blessing of the Lord at work in you. And don't take any condemnation with what I'm about to say. Don't feel condemned if you don't believe the world can see that in you today. This is encouragement for us to walk in it. None of us are walking perfectly in this. And yet, day by day, the more we understand, I believe, His faithfulness, the more we're going to be able to walk in this. Now let's go to Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, and we're going to look at a few verses here. And you'll remember those because we've looked at some of these before. But it's just so important. Look at how this verse starts, and you've got to understand these are the words that the Lord gave Moses to give to the people. So this is really Moses saying what the Lord said to him. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God. And look at the first term that Moses used to describe Him. The faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Now go down, if you would, to verse 12. Then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you with His covenant. So He's going to keep, guard you in this covenant He's given us, and He's going to be faithful to do it, we've already seen. And His loving kindness, His hesed, which He swore to your forefathers. So what He swore in the past, He's telling them, I'm still going to do it for you. That's exactly where we find ourselves today. Next verse. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. In other words, expect increase. And then he talks about the fruit of our womb and the fruit of our ground and the oil and the increase of our herd. And go on to verse 14, if you will. And this is a verse that we spoke out together earlier on. You shall be blessed above all peoples. And we're going to do it again after we read a couple of more verses. You are blessed above all people. There's going to be no one barren amongst you. You are your cattle. Verse 15. And this is the verse that I want you to see. The Lord will remove from you all sickness, and He will not put any of the harmful diseases of Egypt upon you. That's the promise we have of the Lord. That's who He is with us. Now, let me just mention, in fact, let's turn there. And we'll come back to that, to these verses. In Exodus 15, the 26th verse, the Lord is revealing one of His redemptive names to the children of Israel. And He says, if you give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what's right in His sight and give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, Pause. This is what they had to do. They had to do it perfectly. We're not expected to be perfect because Jesus did it for us. So we're brought into this promise where His nature is available to us through the covenant because of what Jesus did. And it goes on to say, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. For I, the Lord, am your healer. So let's declare together. And if you'll just repeat after me, I am blessed above all peoples. I am blessed by the Lord my healer with health. Let's do that one more time, and you do it some yourself after we get through today. I am blessed above all peoples, and I am blessed by the Lord my healer with perfect health. Now, in this verse, if you think about it, that we're reading here, we're seeing the nature of God revealed by His redemptive names. And what I want to tell you is that in our covenant, every one of the seven redemptive names of the Lord, which we have some of those on the banners around the church, the Lord our Provider, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our Banner, Jehovah Shalom, and it goes on and on. Jehovah Sid Kanu for our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah. All of these redemptive names of the Lord you can find in our covenant. I told you, His covenant is a reflection of Him and what He wants to do and give to you. In Isaiah 11, I want to look at the fifth verse. And we're going to go through some of these quickly now. First, this whole chapter again starts off talking about Jesus and the Spirit of the Lord being upon Him. And in verse 5, it's no different. And here we see righteousness and faithfulness linked. Look at what it says. Also righteousness will be the belt around His loins, and faithfulness the belt around or about His waist. And you think about a belt, particularly for a soldier. And when you study in Ephesians 6, the belt, how important it is, because everything hangs on it. Girded around that belt of truth. And what we see here is the word that is used for faithfulness in the Hebrew is the word emunah. And it's based on a word aman, which means to nurture. As a parent would nurture a child or as to foster a child. In other words, to make him firm and secure in that relationship. And do you know that's exactly what this word means? Firm, secure. And listen to what it's translated. Faith, faithful, faithfulness, truth, truthful, steady, stable, and verily. All of these things. And what I want you to see is, what did Jesus say? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot separate His truth from His faithfulness. His word from His faithfulness. Everything He says will come to pass. That's His nature, and that's what we're going to begin to see in these. We're going to look at a few Psalms about it. Now, as we look at this, some of these Psalms are written by David. Some of them are written about David. Some about others. I want you to see these Psalms as part of His love letter to you. No other way. Just take out everybody else of the equation. This is what the Lord is saying to you. And I remind you again, this is what the testimony that I shared with you earlier was all about. He's faithful to me. I've seen it in the past. I'm not worried about it. If it doesn't happen the next hour, there's another hour, there's another day, but it will come to pass. And when we had that kind of attitude, when we saw that kind of attitude, what happened? They received it exactly. So we're going to go quickly through these. Psalm 36, verse 5. This is David talking, and he says, Thy loving kindness, thy hesed, extends to the heaven, and your faithfulness reaches to the sky. So what is David declaring in this? That the love that God has, the hesed that he has, which we know he doesn't just possess it, that's who he is. His faithfulness is of the same magnitude, reaching to the heavens, up to the skies. You can't see the end of it at all. And he's just as faithful. So what we're saying is he's just as faithful as he is in his love towards you. And who was David? David was someone who got a grasp of the heart of God. Psalms 40, verses 10 and 11. I have not hidden thy righteousness within my heart. In other words, David says, I've declared your righteousness. I'm not just going to know and that you're righteous. I'm going to talk about it to others. And then the next phrase says, I have spoken of your what? Faithfulness and thy salvation. And I've not concealed your loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. And then he goes on in verse 11 and says, Thou, O Lord, will not withhold thy compassion from me. Thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Now, continually preserve me says to me that there's something working on and on and on to keep him safe. That's that faithfulness. But I want you to look at all of these words together, because it really goes back to that covenant hesed that we've been talking about for several weeks. Go to Psalms 89. Now this psalm in my Bible is entitled The Lord's Covenant with David. And what it says is, But I will not break off my loving kindness, same word we've been talking about, hesed, nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. So what's he saying? I am going to deal with David according to my faithfulness. There's not going to be any lack of it. It's going to be exactly the same as the way I love him. That's how faithful I'm going to be to him. Now, if you study this psalm, you'll see in verse 5, in verse 8, in verse 33, as we just read, and in verse 37, that word faithful being used. So it's just emphasizing the Lord's faithfulness to David. His promises, and David was one that we looked at concerning the sure mercies, as we talked in Isaiah 55 about God doing the sure mercies and the covenant. So David saw the faithfulness of the Lord. And let's go back to something we looked at earlier. Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus ever had a doubt of his Father's faithfulness? You remember the scriptures we looked at in the psalm preceding 89 that actually talked about that would your faithfulness be declared in Abaddon? And he was talking about the loving kindness. And what's he saying? I'm looking to you and your loving kindness and your faithfulness to cause me to rise up again after I lay down my life for the covenant people, for the sake of the covenant. He walked with absolute confidence in the covenant. And can I make this statement? I'll let you peruse, just ponder it in the coming days. Jesus lived a sinless life. He kept the law. But I want to tell you, I don't believe Jesus was focused on the law all the time. I believe what he was focused on was the covenant that he and the Lord had put together. And he saw in that covenant love, truth, and faithfulness. And that's, along with compassion, graciousness, all those things we saw him do. That's where all the kindness came from. I wasn't looking at the law that brought all that out in him. It was that covenant that he had with his Father. That same covenant that we've been brought into. And now as we talk about faithfulness, don't think, oh gosh, I wish I could be that faithful. Do you realize that one of the nine fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness? So it's in you. We just have to learn how to, in our union with His Spirit, draw it out and begin to walk in it. Let's look at another one. Psalm 119, verse 38. Psalm 119, verse 38. Now you know this is a long psalm, and every verse talks about the Word of the Lord. Different words used to describe it, but this one uses testimonies. But all these psalms are talking about the Word of the Lord. Thou hast commanded thy testimonies in righteousness, and we're going to see these two together again, in the right way of doing things, His right way, and in that right standing that we have in Him. And what's the next phrase? And have I written down the wrong one again for you? Let me just read you this psalm as I have it in my notes. I must have transposed a number. No, I want to take just a second to go look at it, because I want you to be able to see it. It's Psalm 138. Psalm 119, verse 138. My apologies. It says, "Thou hast commanded thy testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness." Verse 138. "Thou hast commanded thy testimonies in righteousness and in exceeding faithfulness." So we saw what? That the Lord abounded in loving kindness, abounded in graciousness. And what is this saying right here? He also abounds in faithfulness. Again, you can't separate part of this out. And you've got the total package dwelling inside you. How about two more in the Old Testament? Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. The Lord's loving kindness, and it's not just loving kindness, it's loving kindnesses, it's plural. So there's aspects and different elements of that loving kindness. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And what do? We quote this verse a lot, saying, because loving kindness is translated mercies in King James, that your mercies are new every morning. And a lot of times we just stop there. But look at that last phrase. Those would mean nothing to you and I unless His great is His faithfulness. But because He's faithful to you and I, all these things, He is bestowing upon you. All we have to do is believe and receive it. I'm glad I came today, because as I'm teaching this, I can just sense my faith rising. The last one in the Old Testament, Hosea 2nd chapter, the 20th verse. Hosea the 2nd chapter, the 20th verse. Now, let me just remind you, marriage is a covenant. We see that in the New Testament example of Jesus and us as His bride. We see it talked about in the way that a man and a wife and his wife are to live. So we're talking here about covenant. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Just as we want a spouse to be faithful to us, this is going to so far exceed it that when we recognize who we are betrothed to in this degree of faithfulness, then we will know Him. We will know Him fully. We will know all aspects of Him. And we can walk in that relationship with Him. Now, if you look at verse 19 just before it, I don't want you to think it's just talking about faithfulness, because in the verse just before it, it talks about in loving kindness and compassion, the very end of that. So again, we're seeing all these elements of His nature tied together. Now let's look at New Testament. Look at a few scriptures there. Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. We know that Jesus has given to us as a covenant. He is going to be faithful. And these scriptures will just cement that in our hearts so that we can trust Him completely, fully, for our healing, which is what we are talking about today. Verse 5. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. Now this is not a minor deal. Now, there's a comparison between Moses and Jesus, but I want to tell you, Moses was faithful to God. And then look what it says in the next verse, verse 6, about Jesus. But the Anointed One was faithful as a son over His house. Whose house we are? The body of Christ? If we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Now, he's not saying he's going to be faithful as long as our faith is good or our hope is good. He's saying he's going to be faithful, and that's what's going to fuel our confidence. That's what's going to give us the ability to say, I expect good things to happen. I expect this thing that has been on my body to depart off, because he's faithful to his word. That's what he said he would do. And we think back about Psalm 119, 138 that we just read. He's not only faithful to his word. What did it say? It says he has exceeding faithfulness to it. Let's look at Hebrews 10, 23. And we'll read a couple of more verses there. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? For he who promised is faithful. Who is the guarantee of our covenant? Jesus is. He's the mediator of it. That's what he's doing in his high priestly role today. He is making sure what is ours in this covenant is available to us to be able to take and receive, just as he's doing it for sin. Just exactly. Now I want to read these next two verses, because I know a lot of us are looking forward to coming back together here in a few weeks on Pentecost Sunday, on the 31st. 24 says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Not forsaking, verse 25, our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing nigh. During this time, not just during this pandemic time, and I don't even like to use that word, because we're not a part of that pandemic. We've been separated from it. We've been separated from it just as much as the land of Goshen was from Egypt, when it was dark there and what? Light in Goshen. We've stayed that plague from coming to us. But this says for us to encourage each other. How do we encourage each other? Romans 1:12 talks about encouraging one another mutually by our faith. I believe it's by declaring the faithfulness of God as we testify what he's done for us. If you'll think back, you can come up with a list of things longer than you can get probably in a notebook of all the good things that the Lord has done for you and been faithful to you. Now I want you to look at 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. Now, I want to look at this not from the context of the whole first chapter of John, but I want just from some of the words that's in it. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and righteous. There's those two in unison again. To do what? To forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the words I want to look at here are forgive. That word forgive means to take away, and it also means not only to take what you're taking away, but any impact it has on you. So this is telling me that if he's removed my sins, and sin came into the earth through Adam's transgression, and part of what came with sin was death, which is what sickness and lack and poverty leads to, then this also says, as we know from Isaiah 53, that he took not only our sin and our iniquities, but he was taking away all of our sickness, all our infirmities in that same act. And we get his peace as he took the chastisement for that peace. So here again, we see that he's already done it. In the words that we've seen today, he's faithful to deliver to you and I about it. So as we think about 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. Can we have a different view of that today? Because he's going to be faithful to deliver it to you and I. He is faithful to his word that says, by my stripes you've been healed. It is a fact. It is in you. It is accomplished. And there's nothing you and I can do to make it not true. The only thing we can do is not consider him faithful, to consider circumstances and what we see and what's going on to the point that we just are not able to receive what He's done for us. And again, this is not condemnation. We're growing together in this. We are growing together in it in a big way. Psalm 107, verse 20. And I want to just talk and focus in on healing in these closing moments. He sent His word and did what? Healed them and delivered them from that which was going to destroy them. Delivered them from their destructions. Again, from Psalm 119, exceeding faithfulness to this word. So this is ours. This is ours. Now, when I read this and putting the notes together and this verse came to my heart, He sent His word and He healed them. I began to think about what Pastor Trey taught in the first four sessions of healing school before I began teaching, or in the four sessions before I began. And what was he talking about? Proverbs. And how the Word of God brings healing to what? To all your flesh. Now, you're just going to have to pardon me. I've heard Pastor Trey say his mind works in different ways, and mine does too. When I read that verse, I think of two things. All your flesh. I think of my flesh, and any disease that I have on it, it's just going to fall away. But I also think of it, and know this verse was addressed to the children of Israel. And so it is equally applicable to me as it is Pastor Trey or Bruce or Pastor Robert or anyone else. So it was applicable to all flesh, all those who made up the Hebrew children. And then I begin to think about what Jesus said, or what the Bible says about Jesus over and over. He healed them all. And you think about that. He said He healed every kind of disease and sickness. So there's what's going on in my body. But He also healed them all. And then I asked the question of the Lord, why, how did you have so many people coming in droves to you? And He began to give me some verses, and I want to share them with you. And I think you're going to see the answer as we get through these next 3 to 4 scriptures that we're going to look at. First, Matthew 12, verse 15. Chapter 12, verse 15. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. And then look at this phrase. Many followed Him. And so we're asking the question, why are many following? And He healed them all. He healed them all. All the diseases, healed all them people. Look at Matthew 9:35. And Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, proclaiming what we have in this new covenant, and healing every kind of disease and every sickness. So He's going about all the cities, meaning all the people, and they were coming to Him, and He's healing every disease. And then Matthew 8:16. And a couple of points on this one we need to make. And when evening came, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with a word, and it goes on and says, and healed all who were ill. Now, in this verse, I'm just prompted to make this statement to you. I want you to know He cast out the demons with a word. Now, I don't believe that just means a single word, but with a short phrase. Wasn't a battle. The demon had to bow. It should not be a battle for you and I today. If the Lord shows you that something going on with you or someone you love is involved with the spirit, you don't have to have a long, drawn-out fight. You stand up in your authority and you execute judgment on that evil spirit. And what happened? Well, we saw some. In fact, you're going to see a case right now. Go to Luke chapter 13 and we'll just look at it. And we're going to start in verse 11. In Luke 13, Jesus is going to the synagogue and He's teaching. And behold, there's a woman there for 18 years who had a sickness caused by a spirit. and she was bent double and could not straighten up. Now, if I'm teaching this verse or this instance of Jesus healing, then I make a point, and I'm going to do it real quickly. Look at the shape this woman was in. Bent double, could not straighten up. That didn't keep her from coming to Jesus. Why did it not? I really believe she knew he was going to be there, and she wasn't going to miss it. So what happened then? Jesus saw her compassion that we talked about earlier. He called over to her and said, "Woman, you're freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. So, "Woman, you're freed." That's the word that he spoke. And the demon left. Now, I want you to look down at verse 16. The synagogue officials begin to give him a hard time. "You ought to come back when it's not the Sabbath." Look at what Jesus referred back to. "And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is." How about if I say it this way? "My covenant partner." This individual, this believer who is my covenant partner, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she or they have not been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? And then look at verse 17. He's referring back to the covenant with this reference. And it says, "The entire multitude was rejoicing over all the glorious things that were done to him." What has happened? Why did these people in droves keep coming and coming and coming? Because he was faithful to his calling to come and demonstrate the covenant of God, demonstrate himself, demonstrate God, represent God to the people. They came to him because he was faithful to his covenant, and he healed them all. And there ought to be no difference to you and I today. None. The same is true. The same mercy, the same loving kindness, the same graciousness, the same power. That absolute faithfulness is there available for you and I today. Hebrews 13:5. People came to him because they had to know his faithfulness. And this verse that we're about to read tells us he is going to be the same for you and I today as he was when he walked this earth. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. And this is the phrase, for he himself has said, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." Never desert you, nor forsake you. I want to read this to you in two translations. First, the Amplified. "For he," God himself, "has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless," that includes sick, "or nor forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you, assuredly not." Now let me read this in the Weiss translation, because I think it really kind of simplifies it and makes the point that he is faithful to you and I today to enforce our covenant right to walk in health, to walk in his word and all that it provides. The Weiss says, "For he himself has said," and this statement is on record, I will not cease to sustain you and uphold you. I will not let you down." Beloved, that is the promise that we have from Jesus today concerning healing. Those stripes on his back, when he says that, "By my stripes, you were healed," he is faithful to you and I to perform exactly what he said. That's what we saw in the earlier testimony, and it is ours today. I'm just sensing that the way we're to close today is not just me praying for you, but each of you there who's standing and believing for something in your own body, or each of you who are standing for someone else, let's just focus in on Jesus right now, which is the same thing we saw earlier as focusing in on His covenant and the promises. See Him opening up Himself to you. See you in Him. And see His desire for you to walk in the perfection, in the healing that has been appropriated, that He purchased at the whipping post. And I want you, not me, I want you to begin to thank Him for it and to declare His faithfulness over that word, over yourself, and then let's begin to rejoice. So I'm going to do that over an item I'm believing for in my body. Father, I thank You that this situation is resolved. Jesus, You are faithful over Your word. You've told me that it is mine and that You will watch over that word to perform it. Exceedingly faithful to Your word. You've made me righteous. So right now, I just rejoice. You are my faithful God. In You, I walk in health. In You, I live and I move and I have my being. It's in You, Father, that Your word has been sent and it's healing me even now. Thank You for that, Lord.